It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Mr. Crenshaw.
You all right?
No, I'm not. But yeah. Let's start off with the show.
And a lot of folks are not.
They are not. No, I'm not comparing my issues with them. But, you know, I've been better starting off a show. But listen, I'm doing better than what was once Jerry Lee Lewis's bass player. I had to throw this out there. We all start the show with an insignificant tidbit. This was the day that Jerry Lee Lewis, while performing, doing something that he did during his show, was to shoot, literally shoot, at soda bottles. He had them lined up on stage like he was back in his backyard doing target practice.
Oh, dear.
He used to shoot at soda bottles, and on this particular night, he missed and hit his bass player.
Ooh.
Norman Owens, twice in the chest.
What?
I'm reading this story, man. 1976. Jerry Lee Lewis attempting to shoot soda bottles hits his bass player, Norman Owens. I never heard that story. Never heard that story. On a lighter note, let's change things. Today was the day Tommy Lasorda took over for the Dodgers.
Really?
Replaced old Walter Austin.
Walt Austin.
Yeah.
Who was famous for one-year contracts. I forget how many years Walter Austin was the manager of the Dodgers, and it was always a one-year. Yeah.
That O'Malley wouldn't give him, you know, multiple years?
I don't know. He just had an understanding and a great way. The Dodgers were kind of like
That's true. That's true. They did things differently back then.
Yeah, they did things different back then. So, I mean, they wasn't afraid of anything happening or whatnot. He knew the team was competitive, and he had plenty of talent out there. He trotted out all them Cy Young Award, Drysdale, Koufax. I mean,
That's true.
You know what I mean? But one-year contracts. You couldn't get nobody to do that now.
And this was
You couldn't.
You're right. This was 76. This is how many years after what Curt Flood tried to do and get them teams to.
Oh, free agency now. Free agency. That
happened shortly thereafter. Was it Andy Messersmith?
That was late 70s, early. Well, no.
I thought Andy Messersmith was one of the first ones to get that.
One of the first ones. We're talking mid 70s.
And this is 76.
Yeah, okay.
The time he took over down there.
Well, we ain't talking about free agents as far as managers. You're talking about players.
Right, but I mean that era of stuff here. Right. I know I put a okie doke on you. Anyway, good morning, Mr. Crenshaw.
How you doing?
I would ask you how your week is, but it does not compare to a lot in our audience.
Yes.
Other than you tell me something unbelievable that happened, like, you know, whatever. But let's get serious for a second and start the show talking about some of the people in our listening audience that have had – not just the week, the last few days have been, and what word you're a journalist would be apt to put in this position here?
Oh, man. I mean, overwhelming in a lot of areas. And even though you prepared for it, and things were forecasted, and still the reality of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's just something just is overwhelming. And, you know, we got power outages still in our area. We had flooding in our area. We hope that people are able to get that and the cleanup that's going to have to go on after this that goes on. But you're right, we got power outages down the road in August. We hope to catch up with Gabriel Stovall this morning. Understand that the gas stations are out of gas. You know, it's really bad. A lot of trees down, power out.
That's the problem, Sam.
They won't go back to school until the middle of next week, probably. And so, I mean,
the problem is getting to some of these issues in some of these areas because of the trees being down.
Yeah.
So first, you got to wait for the folks to get out there and tree removal from these roads, if the roads are passable.
That's the other thing. Not
flooded.
Up in North, and because I've lived and worked in Augusta and in North Carolina, Western North Carolina, you know, they canceled the game up at App State yesterday. They said just don't come up here; they're not going to play. And then going toward Asheville, bridges are washed out. Interstates are washed out. Hope we're going to give a soundbite, hopefully. Trey Lamb, who has connections to the area, is the coach at East Tennessee State. They went through this frightening trip to try to drive down to Charleston to play the Citadel. And they had to, like, spend the night at, like, a shelter, like a homeless shelter, because the road in front of them and behind them had gotten washed out. And so they finally made it, and the guy was talking to him, says, how are you guys going to get back? I guess we go back through South Carolina, up through North Carolina, up through Virginia, and come back. You know, and he's just trying to figure out a way to get back home. But it's just amazing what is going on. And you know, hey, everybody in there, just hang in there. We're keeping people in our thoughts and prayers. Keep your heads up, y'all.
And you were talking about over in Augusta area. We're hearing about what's going on downstate in Valdosta and how it's going on. So again, the stories are now being. People have been so busy. Doing what you have to do. Work the problem. That's my phrase. And you know, like, I'm dealing with it at my house. And I'm not going to put myself in any sort of special position because there's a whole lot of people. So let's talk about Buckhead and what they're going through.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so I got three. Listen, during the pandemic, I built a little area because everybody was inside for, you know, to work out. So I bought one of them fans, you know, place people have in their workout area to keep cool. So I got one of those fans, and I've had one of those, you know, floor to about 3 feet high things that oscillate sort of fans in different rooms.
Right.
I got three of them. I got all three of them working.
They're working
on carpets right now.
Wow.
Downstairs because we had it come through. Everybody, and you said, people prepared, but from time to time, despite what we know is coming,
right,
despite it happening, and we still feel like we get past it, Mother Nature is going to remind you who's running things.
Yep, absolutely. You know what I mean? And then it's just...
And there's only so much you can do building a house. And the water hits so fast, so hard, which is why a lot of people who felt like their foundations were good and things like that.
Finding out something else.
Yeah, and I'm finding out because we've been in this house, like, you know, a bunch of years, and there's been erosion. Because we're on this, you know, not so much a hill, but just it's a rolling hill of the subdivision. So people know what I'm talking about that have dealt with this. So we're thinking about you and just wanted to take a second and let you know in some ways we're right there with you. Not on the same level, but, you know, you adapt and adjust, man. We all become Marines when Mother Nature hits like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a shout out to the first responders.
Absolutely.
The people who are just whose jobs it is to go out and rescue people. Your job there is to go out and get power turned on. Just think about it. We already had a lot of people from our area, you know, power people who were ready to go to Florida. You know, had already been told, we're going to need you down in Florida. Well, who's going to come keep our power on?
Exactly.
So, I mean, the whole thing of logistics, the way that worked. But,
and the way that storm came up, though, was unique. I can't remember the last time I remember hurricane hitting in that bend. You know, it was a bend of the panhandle.
Right, right.
Either comes farther, you know, toward the tip of the panhandle or just hits, you know, like Sarasota or Tampa, places like that. I've never seen it come and hit that way, and I believe that's one of the reasons why it attacked Georgia the way it did.
Maybe it did and came right through Valdosta. It practically came up 75.
Basically.
But it did, but a lot of it swung to the east, and that's the part that swung around and hit the area over around Augusta.
Right.
And it has them in the shape that they're in. But
and them outer bands, man.
Yeah,
God bless all of you, and we hope that things turn for the better here.
And we've had to reschedule a bunch of games. When, of course, we had a high school scoreboard show Friday night. We only had about 10 games that were played
Friday
night.
How many were scheduled, would you say?
Oh, my God. I mean, a full slate was scheduled, but they had to move a lot of them to yesterday. And there's some that's scheduled for Monday. But like I said, the folks in Augusta look like they may not be back in school until Wednesday. And so these are last Friday's games that they still haven't played yet. The other thing is the officials is getting them the logistics. These people have their regular 9-to-5 jobs. Can they be at these games at these locations?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of thing that goes into it. We'll talk about that some at the top of the hour. Chris Parker and I talked about that a great deal Friday night. And, you know, we've still had a few games. Day-Day went out to a game. Garrett went out to a game. And we made the best of it. But, you know, hopefully, you know, everybody's able to get things back on track and back on schedule for this coming week. It easier said than done.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Take us with you in the Odyssey app as we sit here on this this Sunday morning getting ready. As you like to say, it's a game day.
It is that.
It's a game day, and it's against the rivals, too.
Right, not just any game day. Saints are in town.
But let's talk about, because we haven't had a chance to, and I don't know how much time you want to spend on this, The cussing and spitting you just got through talking about officials. How are folks in this town feeling about officials after what happened on Monday night? We have not had a chance to just give a brief little synopsis.
I mean, Sunday night,
of what happened at the end of that Falcons game.
Yep.
But you have any
well, some things
final
have to do.
Thoughts?
You can't let it be down to just that one play. There are a lot of opportunities during the course of the game. But, yeah, people looked at that and that was glaring. And all I can say is, when you're at the top, sometimes you get them calls.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I think of the year that the Falcons went to the Super Bowl, you know, that season, you get some calls when you're up in that, you know, in that area. We're hoping to work our way back up to that where you get those, because that's all a part of it. Is being good, is your execution, you know, everything going is playing on the field, and then that extra break.
But that extra break normally happens when you're at home. Not when you're on the road.
Yeah, but did be,
you know what I mean?
Who are you playing against, though?
I get it. I'm saying Kansas City, whatever the little subtle nuances of being a Super Bowl champion, multiple Super Bowl champion are, I get that. But normally you see those perks come when they're at home.
Yeah.
Not so much on the road. And a special night with Arthur going, hey, it's good to see Samuel L. Jackson up there.
It was good.
Yeah, seeing
him.
It was first, it was a lot of footage of him walking on the field. He still walks. He still got that, I call it the Morehouse pimp.
Yeah.
he still got that strut. But, you know, him being out there and Will Packer, who I've worked for 11 years, we'll get to that in a little while.
Yep.
But yeah, it was, and then you have, this is going to be an interesting little thing that's going on with Arthur Blank over these next couple weeks. He's going to be very visible. So he had Sunday night. He's obviously going to be seen at some point today during today's game, but also today is the hospital's grand opening.
If you're going anywhere near Claremont today, be on the
North Druid Hills.
The path today is that from Claremont.
Oh, coming over from Claremont?
Because they're moving the children.
Oh, that's right. Every 5 minutes.
They're moving the children. It's going to be like a caravan nonstop today, starting at 7 a.m. If you're going anywhere near Claremont, and that's the route that they're going to take from Eggleston, which is over near Emory University.
Come down Claremont, get right on that access road.
Because
it runs along 85.
And that runs you right into the new Arthur Blank Hospital. They're going to be moving. And all types of vehicles going to be used because you got so many different special cases that mm-hmm. children are undergoing. And today is the day they're going to move them to the new Arthur Blank Hospital. And so that's going to be going on all day. That's the thing. While the Falcons are playing and that's happening,
you got to wonder if he's going to make – he's probably going to be there for a little bit. I mean, he can show it to the Falcons game in the second half. But if this hospital is opening today, he got
to
be there.
He has to be there, you know.
Cut the ribbon, open the doors, whatever he's got to do. And I'm sure that's all, you know, been worked out. I'm sure him, Steve Cannon, and his group of folks will be
out
there.
It'll be timed perfectly.
And then, so you have the events of today, and then in 4 days, Falcons are on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Be back. What's all this primetime? Speaking of primetime, speaking of all this primetime stuff with the Falcons.
They're rolling us out. There's some expectations. We got to go deliver on it today.
Ah, I buried the lead. Noel, thank you, Noel, who will come out here a little bit. Thursday night, Matt Ryan goes into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And yet another division opponent. We're into the games that matter most. We're 1-2, but you know what? The one is an NFC team. The two losses are the AFC teams. No harm, no foul in my book, because what you really want to accomplish starts today.
Well, we got to change the end result here. Braves, we can talk about them in a little bit here, but prime time with Atlanta teams from Sunday night to last night, Georgia team, excuse me.
Yikes.
Hopefully Thursday will change things around, but we're going to get into college football here next. We are just getting started on this Sunday morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. It is Sam and Greg. Noel's on the other side of the glass. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Take us with you in the Odyssey app. Picking at number 3, it's Booker T and the MGs with Green Onions. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sometimes you just need to reach over and smack me in the head, okay? Just smack me in the head.
Oh,
just,
why?
Just being nonsensical. I'm trying to wake up and get everybody up here. Yeah, that song peaked at it joined the top two or top three on this date. It just gave me an excuse to play some Green Onions.
Why not?
I don't want to do that for you. And everybody's head's bopping up here. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're going to get to the Braves, and they are now officially in the number 2 spot as far as wild card teams. We're going to have ourselves a race car driver here.
Yeah.
Waiting to find out which one. But we're going to have ourselves a race car driver, I understand, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Going to combine Noel's world with the latest what's going on with the movies. And
that's dangerous when you put all that together.
Well, we just, you know.
But we're going
to
do it.
We have to because y'all only, we found out, again, this is that time of year when we leave you at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Getting ready for a Falcons 1 o'clock kickoff today. As a matter of fact, let me just let you know right now, we're John Fricke and our own Joe Patrick going to be at Northside and Markham.
Yep, there's a new location, I think, today. Not the smooth lot.
Not the smooth lot.
They got a different location today, but they want y'all to come by and check them out on your way to the game today.
Northside and Markham. Going to be there from 9 till 11. And then Rob Tribble is going to be at the Cigna by Hilton from 6.
Now that's nice.
Now, he'll be there after the game.
Woo!
Be there from 6 until 7.
That's a nice spot.
Ain't nobody invited me up there yet. Every time I'm ready to go, it's packed. So I can't, like a yogiism. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. So that's coming up. Also, D-Led will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. The best part of the
man whose name is now on a wall in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, now.
And when you hear the post game press conferences, you can always tell when D-Led asks the question.
He does.
And he asked the question last week, which brought on the coach's responses. I like my money.
Oh, yeah.
And I could tell that was D-Led. Then he followed. Yeah.
What'd you think about that call, coach?
I said, oh, there he is. That time of year. It's D-Led time.
Led, I like my money.
Yeah.
Led, I like my money. Thank you, Coach Rob.
Again, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We'll get into the Falcons again later on in the show. All right, yesterday, an instant classic happened in Tuscaloosa.
That we could see again, and we could see a second and third time.
Yes, we could.
Now, some folks out in Austin, Texas got a little something they want to say about that, but we could see these two teams meet again a second and third time.
All right, how do we talk about this?
It was exhausting last night.
I quit. The
start they got up to, and I said, you know what, down 28-0. I said, people are going to warm up the cars, and they're going to be at Bucky's by the third quarter.
I was heading back home, right? You're right. I was flipping to the Braves. I got so aggravated, and I got no dog in this fight, no pun intended. I just, you know, you wanted to see competitiveness, which you did. You just had to hang around till the second half.
Yeah.
But
I mean, late. You had to stay with this thing late, man.
I had a show to do this morning.
You stayed until fourth quarter to see what happened, and you know Georgia, they came back and took the lead.
What happened in that first quarter?
I was talking to somebody. I was talking to an Alabama fan. You know, listened to him, and when Georgia took the lead, all of a sudden, they disappeared off the phone.
Oh yeah, they just disappeared. Hey,
poof.
It was one of those where you're talking to somebody and they're not there.
All of a sudden, they're just gone.
It was aggravating. It was because you heard and you know so much about this quarterback, and I'm putting it all on Beck because he looked like he just joined the team that afternoon in that first half, and it was deer in the headlights.
You gonna blame it on the Lamborghini?
The Lamborghini. You have to explain that one.
He has one.
Okay.
That's part of his.
It didn't have. He won last week, didn't he?
I'm just.
I don't know what to blame it on. I blame it on Alabama's defense. I blame it on.
Well, very much.
And by the way,
it looked for a part like they threw something at them that maybe they hadn't even prepared for.
Let me ask you a question.
That's when you lose like that and things like that happen, you know, then you go into your locker room at halftime and you really do have to make those adjustments. You can't do that on the fly. Whatever it is they were throwing at them, you know. And maybe it was something they hadn't planned for. I don't know. Or, you know, maybe in their preparation, they saw a little hole with him, something that they could do to throw him off his game because he was definitely off his game. And yardage, total yardage, I mean, the running game was non-existent.
They had a chance. Literally the first possession, they had a bomb down the field. The kid dropped it. So had he made that catch, who knows what would have happened. But after that, you know what I was thinking of that first half? And listen, it's conspiracy theories if I throw this out here. But all I could think about last year was how Michigan kept winning them games when they kept suspending Harbaugh. And people knew that Harbaugh was just a phone call away. And he spent the time in. And my point for saying that is we didn't see Nick Saban, you know, sitting in his suite in that first half. Saw him in the second half.
He was up there.
I'm sure he was.
He was at a hotel.
I'm sure he was. But I'm sure that there was also people figuring he had a pipeline down to somebody on the sidelines to get the message to him about what he saw that could possibly add to what Alabama did. You can dismiss it.
Yeah, you know.
Like a lot of things I dismiss with you because you reach for things too. I'm just saying it ran through my mind. Yeah. Is it completely out of the realm of possibility that somebody asked Nick Saban, if this scenario happens, what would you do?
Oh, they did all that. They did all that on game day.
Or somebody walked up behind him when he was coming out of the bathroom and said, so-and-so's on the phone. They want to ask you a question. And he got on the phone.
You followed Nick Saban to the bathroom.
And he said he got to follow him. He's coming out of the suite. They're all right there. I'm not following nobody, man. He's right there. But I'm just saying, somebody could have handed him a phone and said, I think
he gave all of the scenarios. They ask him every possible question during game day. Obviously,
that's game day.
I'm talking
about during the game.
But I'm just saying, he's sharing. I think he shared a lot of things. And And I don't think he's that involved in that way. I mean, he's still got an office in the building down there.
Dude, we don't know. Yeah. And his objective is to see Alabama continue to have success. And if he can help in any little way, yeah, it would be kind of crooked and behind closed doors. But what are we talking about? The SEC here, right?
Man, his objective.
He ain't cheating, he ain't trying, right?
His objective is to go out and play golf.
I know. I like
it. And make commercials with the duck.
I'm reaching. So, don't mention that duck today on my show. You know why.
Sorry.
Got a problem with that duck today.
Hey.
I showed you why, too.
Yeah, I know. That's right. But he was actually there yesterday. The real live duck was actually there for game day. I think, you know, and this obviously helps get Kalen DeBoer, but, you know, as far as it goes. We got some sound? Let's hear one of those scores.
Milroe. Around left end, touchdown, Alabama! What an opening drive as they overcome their mistakes and draw first blood.
Yeah, and right after that, Georgia came down. Georgia got the ball. Yeah, Georgia got the ball second. Alabama got it first. They went and scored, but they had a deep play. And like I said, the kid dropped the ball, and it just seemed like everybody's pants were getting wet in that first half. They were all taken in by the scene. Everything about being in Tuscaloosa and the size of that game. You know what they say about the Super Bowl? You know, the first few minutes, everybody's kind of, you know, getting used to being in that environment.
Yeah.
This was a playoff-like game. That's what everybody talked about. These two teams don't match up. I mean, they don't get together in September normally. Normally, it's for the SEC Championship or something much bigger.
This is not a rivalry. It is not a rivalry because they don't play regular season.
Right.
It's a rare regular season game between them. And it's always been that way, going all the way back to the SEC. Remember, Herschel Walker never played against Alabama.
Right.
And he played 3 years. If he had played a fourth year, he wouldn't have played against Alabama. I'm just saying that they don't play on a regular, and it's always been that way. Coach Smart has some thoughts about the game. Let's hear from Coach.
Tell two halves. Obviously, we were not really prepared, and that falls on me in the first half. We didn't do a great job, especially defensively. But we also gave them short field. And with a short field and a quarterback like Milroe, it creates a lot of tough times.
You get a short field when your quarterback throws interceptions.
That too. But, you give Alabama's defense credit, man. I mean, you know, Georgia got 80 yards running. And you got Trevor Etienne, 12 carries, 55 yards. This is why they brought this dude to Georgia. They brought him for this game, for games like this. And, 55 yards, you expect to get a little more than that. I mean, Beck's numbers in the end, 27 of 50, 439 yards, 3 touchdowns, but also 3 interceptions.
I mean, 30-3 going into halftime.
Yeah, I know. You figure it was all done. And, you give them credit for getting up off the deck and playing well in that second half, but you just can't put yourself into that kind of hole on the road at a place like this. And, like you said, maybe they didn't play that well at Kentucky because this game was in the back of their minds. Possibly, you know.
Well, if it was just the second half, we saw, was it Rock'em Sock'em Robots? We saw why these guys are where they are. I'm just saying I didn't see what I saw in the first half coming from this team in totality. But the quarterback situation is what was just the most aggravating because it was like a lot of dumb stuff too, and he was throwing up stuff. I mean, I can't remember the last time I saw an intentional groundings from 30 yards down the field. Instead of throwing it out of bounds, you know he's getting rushed there, and boom, he does it, and he gives him the safety.
Yeah. But that's the other thing, though. When they wanted to dial up a rush or a blitz, there were guys coming in that were untouched.
Yeah.
There were guys coming in untouched, Greg. And you know.
And the adjustments that Georgia was trying to make, they said, well, we couldn't really hear them because of that's a home field advantage.
That is. That's an amazing place to go to, and it's an awesome place to play. They had you where you wanted them. They had you where they wanted you, and the time they wanted you. They wanted you down there after dark.
And they got you there, and you took advantage. You took advantage of youth in some regards because there's little things you can do when you can't hear the quarterback making audibles. You should know that. So you keep and for whatever the reason, these guys didn't hear those, didn't make the adjustments. And again, it was maddening that first half. They came back, and then how do you explain them coming back the way they did and doing what they did to Alabama's offense or defense,
Defense, yeah. They figured some things out and got some things clicking, you know. And just the fact that you do all that work to get back and finally get the lead And in a twinkling of an eye, poof. It's, you know, all that hard work and just like
put
that.
Him, what was it? He's Mr. Alabama as far as high school players, two-time or something.
Ryan Williams, 17 years old.
Hey, go buy your prom suit.
Go scores a touchdown and has the audacity to get in the back of the end zone and do the Jamal Anderson Dirty Bird dance. I mean, like, how do you know about the dirt? He's 17 years old. How you know about Dirty Bird dance?
That's what you should say. Y'all know nothing about.
You don't know about no Dirty Bird dance. Did you call Jamal and you call Jam and ask him if you could do his dance?
One of those assistant coaches told him.
You know,
one of those assistant. They got an ex Falcon on the staff.
Keep that kid off YouTube. Talented kid. Talented young man. And
so what do we need to see?
We have set the stage for, we set the stage for a rematch, obviously. Now the teams have to fight to make it. Like I said, there's this team out in Texas that had this guy named Manning playing for them again yesterday. They say it's not a quarterback controversy. They're saying, when Ewers comes back, it's his job. But Manning looked awfully comfortable yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
in that win for Texas. So, we'll see what happens. They're out there for Georgia. But up next is Auburn. Who can't seem like right now they can't beat anybody,
You got to feel good about what happened last week after what you saw, because you just mentioned Kentucky and what they did last week. Well, you saw what Kentucky did yesterday. It popped Lane Kiffin in the mouth.
Yeah, they did.
So you got to feel better about. I mean, you got the win, but still, there's nobody to sneeze at here with this so-called basketball school.
Yeah, really. They played some football yesterday. Interesting day, in college ball, and especially around the Southeastern Conference.
And my house has two professional baseball teams going to the playoffs.
Really?
That has never happened.
Wow.
Two baseball teams will be in the playoffs represented in my house. Yesterday, I had a finger shot off if I was going to change the channel. I really was. We ain't changing the channels. Normally, there's a nice little conversation about, we'll bounce back and forth. No, not yesterday.
Not happening.
And I was cool because I was kind of busy with water. So, and Jesse. Listen, we are going to talk about those Braves. But remember, coming up 7 o'clock hour, we've got a special guest coming up at 7:20. Going to let you know what's going on locally. Top of the hour and venture into Noel's world and let you know about some money flying through the air. We still haven't given you our stories of the week. We'll get to that coming up. Sam and Greg on this 29th day of September. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 29th day of September. I have a legitimate question for both of you, too. All right? As we hear Prince, who has the mantle now? And if there's a couple people, tell me who they are. Who walks into a room now like Prince used to do and everybody just goes, that's the coolest person in the room? Who owns cool now? And I was thinking about this the other day.
How they dress.
No. Cool is an indescribable trait.
They ain't wearing them pants with you hanging out the back or none of that kind of stuff.
Well, it depends on how old you are, too. It depends. I'm just asking you.
He show up wearing.
I'm asking you a serious question. You got nothing looking for nobody's britches. That's as bad as you want me to hand Nick Saban the phone coming out the bathroom. I just want to know.
I'm just saying, man.
Well, I'm curious. Who do you think is cool right now? Not at Prince's. All right, this is what popped into my mind. Maybe not everybody agrees, but he walks into a room, Lenny Kravitz.
I say Bruno Mars.
Okay, thank you. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think he's the dude. So I don't know. When we go to Noel.
She's over there thinking.
What you got, Noel?
She's in the middle of it.
First of all, good morning.
Oh, wait, we got to wait.
Good morning.
We've been waiting 2 weeks for that. Eric, don't hit that like you.
Look, I know.
I'm sorry. I was letting you work. I was letting you.
You're fine. I was thinking about it.
We're going to talk. Well, you were missed last week. We did the whole show and our bottom lip poked out.
I know. When I woke up, not at 6, I was like, this feels weird.
Yeah.
I wake up at 11 o'clock on a Sunday. This is weird. Yeah. Not doing Sam and Greg show. I didn't know how I felt about it.
Well, we're going to hear more coming up at 7:40. You and I will dominate that segment. But is Sam right? Is Bruno Mars?
He's probably one. I'm gonna put Usher in that category right now.
Okay.
Usher ain't picking up his phone these days.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. This is probably.
This is the worst time to be Usher or Bieber or some of them other folks. We'll leave it at that. We'll just leave it at that. But okay, I can see Usher being in there. Anybody else? Again, like I said, Prince took a lot of cool with him.
Yeah, with that level of cool is kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a one-in-a-lifetime thing, like looking for the next James Dean. It's like a one in a lifetime kind of.
That's a good way to
put
it. Yeah. Is there a cool actor right now?
Well, there's quite a few of them, but I don't, you know, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
Quite a few. When they walk in a room, it's cool. There's people who are starstruck. I think cool is different than being starstruck. Like Samuel L. Jackson, even though he's on the Mount Rushmore, I think he's on cool. All right, no.
Sam and Denzel.
Who?
I said Sam and Denzel. Like a different level of cool.
Yeah, yeah, different kinds.
That's different level though.
Yeah, different level of cool.
I'd put an ex-president on that Mount Rushmore.
Clinton.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, not Clinton.
Who?
Obama.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I ain't seen no other president like just break out into a Al Green song. If you break out into an Al Green song, you're on my mountain of cool. That's just
either that or Amazing Grace.
Yeah, that too.
Is, you know.
So yep. You can play the saxophone all you want, but when you sing, that's when people start screaming.
The saxophone got points now.
It was nice.
You like the saxophone, and especially where it was. That was
with the glasses on.
Remarkable. What?
Who you talking?
Oh yeah, the saxophone with the glasses on. Remember we had the dog.
Oh, that's real. That's true.
Yeah, man. on Arsenio Hall show.
That's true,
dude.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As we sit here on this 29th day of September, by again.
Braves went 2-1 last night over Royals, and we wondered about this series, especially when we knew this storm was coming. We knew this storm was coming in. Mets are in town, very important series, and we just cringed and said, you know, we don't get to get two of these games in. Can we get two of them in? We got one in, and then they said, well, you got to come back on Monday and play two.
Yeah.
And so the Braves are left with this possibility of playing, five games over 4 days to end the season and then be ready to go again. You know what I mean?
Get on a plane and go wherever.
Yeah, and that's, they got nobody to blame for that but themselves. But the way they're finishing with a flourish. And
The storm helped them out because they didn't have to go up against the Mets best. They got also Rams of Kansas City because Kansas City had already clinched. So
I'm forgetting who's supposed to start today, but they're saving Chris Sale.
Oh, they better.
They've been saving him like when we going to need him. You know, keep your arm loose.
Yeah.
We're going to find out and we're going to wave you in. But Travis d'Arnaud delivers the magic last night and they get the win.
Shout out James Toonen.
Yep, and thanks to the folks over at Bally Sports for that 2-1 final score. Braves with the win over the Royals last night. It's fantastic. You know, it's the kind of baseball that you want to see. You do want to see it, and there's a side of you that don't want to see it. You want to see your team have the hay in the barn already, right?
Yeah.
But if you're going to get there, you wanted to go in there with some momentum.
That's what I was going
to
say. He did what you want to see. You want to see a live bats.
You want to see
timely
live bats.
Hitting.
Right. The calendar's about to change. And
that's what you've been saying since April.
The calendar's about to change, and the bats are wide awake.
You've been saying that since April.
Right? The bats are wide awake as the calendar starts to change. That's very important. We haven't seen that in the last couple of years.
Well, we've seen it for a little bit of October, but not – parts.
Not the last 2 years. The bats took a serious nap the last 2 years. So, yeah, you know what I mean? So the bats are awake, and we'll see that.
Did you hear me get a shout-out to James? You don't know who that is.
Go ahead.
He's the guy who changes the filter at my house. He looks just like Travis d'Arnaud.
Really?
And he's in love with McKenna.
Oh, my gosh.
He's a little small for her.
Okay.
Now there's nothing small about him, but there's just women who like them big men.
Oh yeah, now
you know you got to be at least this tall to ride this ride, to speak.
Right. You know,
and so they know each other, been friends forever, and we always want. He would take such good care of her, but she's too much woman for him.
Yeah, do that.
So he's gonna keep changing filters.
Braves, pitching plans for the series finale. We don't know. They're going to spin the bottle here.
They shouldn't. Maybe go with
Charlie Morton or Spencer Schwellenbach. No.
Schwellenbach. That's what you go with today.
We know. We'll see. You know. So that's where
take
we are.
Take a second and talk about Max Fried the other night.
Yeah.
Oh.
Was that something?
He just he showed me even a little something.
He spinned a jewel. He spun a jewel.
It was Max Fried at his best and a little something extra, because there was that possibility. of us seeing him the way he was looking for the last time.
Yeah.
And he went out there and just showed everybody, well, let's hope this team gets with it because y'all going to miss this.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. And so, that's just the way he put it out there. And, you know, if that's the last time, regular season last time, hopefully we will get to see him pitch again because we're going to get into this postseason and we're going to get a chance to see him do some work.
This was the thing that stuck with me. And I hate bringing it up because it just shows that we're old. But one of the things that was hoped during Max Fried's performance was that he was going to get a complete game. Which would have made complete game number what, if you had to take a guess for the season, for him? Three,
okay.
We came up watching players, they'd have three complete games by May.
Oh, yeah, man.
And try and keep it going. And that was an actual stat that helped you in contract negotiations. So-and-so had X amount of complete games. It's just, I mean, again, I'm not talking about life was better then, these players were better. I'm never going to do that. It's just the difference in them. And when you talk about players being used a certain kind of way, especially pitchers, and you think about, and this ain't going back to the 50s, we're talking about not that long ago, and when Leo was running the pitching staff.
Oh, yeah.
Them dudes worked those arms regularly between starts. And I don't remember many two Tommy John surgeries between Gladix. Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz.
Yeah.
So, again, you just never know. But it was, like I said, when I heard that stat, the third complete game of the season, it just reminded that our pitching staffs are used differently these days. Anyway, are you ready to move this thing into the 7 o'clock hour? We want to remind you and apologize, kind of, sort of, but not really, because you're waiting for football. We're the opening act for a full day of football. Obviously, we got Falcons in New Orleans coming up first, pregame 11 o'clock, kickoff at 1, but that's followed by Buffalo at Baltimore. That's tonight's game, 7:30 pregame, kick at 8:15. We are going to send you to John Fricke and Joe Patrick. They're going to be at the north side and Markham lot right there at from 9 o'clock until 11, followed by Rob Tribble, who will be there after the game at the Cigna by Hilton from 6 until 7. Sam and I on this Sunday morning. Noel's on the other side of the glass. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And take us with you in the Odyssey app.